This is a view from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Wednesday, the 4th of July, 2018. Happy Independence Day to any American listeners. But it is the second off-season podcast of the summer, and we have plenty to go through. We have players that are coming in. We have players that are going out. We have a change of name up in Glasgow, and a lot more besides. But where do we start? Well, it's the summertime, so to come in to do the podcast, everybody has to take time out of doing something. And taking time out from his walking holiday in Northern Ireland, Mr. David McGimsey.
Good evening, Patrick.
Keeping well?
Not bad, mate.
Enjoying the sunshine?
Loving the sunshine. Having to work a wee bit too hard to get enough time off, you know, for next week. But enjoying it whenever I can get out into it.
And also, back again, taking time out from travelling from one of my old stomping grounds in Newcastle and up to Glasgow and basically just enjoying himself. Mr. Joel Neal, how are you?
Good evening, Paddy. Yeah, just back today from a whistle-stop tour of Newcastle to Glasgow via Edinburgh. Glasgow, that's a city in Scotland. It's about 16 miles from where the Glasgow clan are based.
Where in Newcastle was the gig?
It was a venue called Think Tank, and I think it's Times Square, right beside the World Cup, like outdoor bit. So I had a great time. Home far too soon. I'm back in the office tomorrow morning, but good to spend the evening with you boys, sure.
Absolutely. Well, good to have you back, mate. And finally, with a reason, is a man who's taken time out from relearning what it's like to be a father 13 years later. Congratulations, Mr. Simon Kitchen.
Cheers, Patrick. Thank you very much. I've just taken a few hours away from young baby Sophie to get involved with you three reprobates because maybe you wanted to do a 30-minute podcast. We all know it's not going to end up that way.
It is 13 years, isn't it? Jasmine's now 13 years old.
Jasmine's 14 next 14? Month, eh? So she 14 in August. She loves it. She thinks it's great. So she's been in her element, and it's been an eventful few weeks, but 3 weeks early. But baby healthy, so all good.
Fantastic, mate. That's good to hear, and congratulations. Right. We're going to start off, well, a bit like we started off the last show, and with a bit of news. I'm going to hand it over to my esteemed colleague, Mr. Joel Neal.
Esteemed, I love it. Let's not draw this one out,
sorry,
boys.
I meant to say steaming.
That was last night. Okay, we'll not draw this one out. A gritty, disruptive, in-your-face British centreman, a core element for one of the most exciting Brit packs in recent Belfast Giants history.
Before you give the actual name, let me know, because I've got something for it, but go on.
Really? I'm ready. 2 seconds. Player who's earned himself a special relationship with the Teal Army in his previous 2 years with the club, and he's even warmly welcomed last season when he skated out into the SSE Arena with the Milton Keynes Lightning. Welcome home.
Wait for it. Wait.
Jonathan Boxall.
They're going to have a lot of fun with this new system. Yep, Jonathan Boxall back with the Belfast Giants. And Joel had the opportunity to speak with him earlier this week. The full interview will be, of course, on our SoundCloud account, soundcloud.com/AVFTB. But let's hear a snippet from it.
I mean, talking of coming home, tell me a little about how the opportunity to return to Belfast came about. And do you feel a sense of some maybe unfinished business from your last 2 seasons in Teal?
Yeah, no, it kind of came about. I touched base with thoughts. I mean, I still spoke to Kiefer and quite lots of the guys on the team throughout the season, just remained in contact with thoughts. I kind of reached out to him when I graduated as well from Ulster, and just kind of thanked him and Robert for giving me the opportunity to get that, because that was a huge thing, you know, back 6 years ago when I decided to come back and play in the UK. Yeah. So I reached out to him and thanked him for the opportunity to do that, and then we just, you know, just kind of stayed in touch throughout the season. And then obviously there were certain players moving in and out of the organization, and a spot arose, and, you know, thoughts and Kiefer know how I feel about the organization and the city. And we're very fortunate that we were able to sort of come to an agreement, and I'm very happy to be back.
As I said, the full thing, that's a fantastic interview, very humorous one, but a very engaging one that Joel did with Jonathan Boxall, is on soundcloud.com/AVFTB from about 9 o'clock this morning, well, Thursday morning, when the announcement goes live. Davey, I'll start with you. Boxy back on the side.
Look, it's good news. We've been trying to, you know, get this Brit core up and going. I think Boxy was a victim, perhaps the last time he's here in his final season with us, of one of the guys that lost out in ice time when our numbers just didn't allow us to play that four-line system. Boxy was probably one of the ones that he maybe went as much to seek a bit more ice time as anything. You know, that first season he was here, he felt his way in. The second season he was a lot better, but, you know, he really prided himself on being good in the face-off circle. Joel will obviously drop the stats in here in a wee minute, but, you know, he went away that summer, and Sizz will tell you. he used to be last guy off, one of the very few that stayed on the ice, Sizz, and you'll verify it up at the ice bowl, just practicing draws, practicing face-offs. So he wanted to be the man, he wanted to be better, and it's crucial. A puck possession team like ours, it's crucial to get the puck. And this season, just past, we suffered through a lack of not having natural centremen on the team. We spend a lot of our game chasing and regaining the puck. Whereas you start with a puck, you're in a much better position. So crucial for Boxy to come in, pick up that second season form in the circle. And, you know, I'm for one very, very happy to see him back in Teal again.
Says when we spoke to Lewis Hook, and actually when we spoke to Jonathan Boxall last season when he was at MK, he said, you know, as he was one of the elder statesmen of the Brit Pack, and he mentioned this in his interview as well, his relationship with Lewis Hook. But, you know, coming in as a senior Brit with a bit of experience.
Pappy, I think it's a great signing. You know, Boxy, Davey's already touched on it there. You know, he did a great job in his first season. I'm pretty sure he had an injury towards the end of the second season. Did he put his shoulder out towards the end of the second season? So, you know, he lost a lot of games, obviously a lot of ice time. And then, as Davey says, it didn't, the way the lines were working out that year, it was a bit difficult for him. And I think it's a really good move to bring him back into the fold because, one, yeah, that would be a bit of experience from the British side of things. But more importantly, he has aspirations to get this World Championship team next May as well. And the guys that we've brought on, Swindlehurst, Lewis Hook, you know, he's a young kid and he'll want to do his best to try and push forward that World Championship team as well. And I think this year will be what we'll see is every single Brit, say if his arm's hanging off, he'll still want to play. These guys will want to play hurt. They'll want to play as much as possible. They'll want to play against the likes of Adam Keefe's team because he'll get to see the guys playing or playing for Adam Keefe's team. Pete Russell up in north of the border at Renfrew. You know, so you'll get all these British guys who are really be trying their utmost to impress this great British setup and get in that World Championship team next May. And I think it's a good sign. I think, you know, he loves Belfast. He's made no mistake. Every time he talks about it and online, he's always saying about how good he enjoyed Belfast. So no doubt it's a good sign. Get back, get another Brit into the core. That's six now. And I think it's a good signing by Adam Keefe.
You spoke to him, Joel. He sounds enthusiastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's on one hand, and it's something that we covered. He does have a special relationship with the fan base here, and I said to him, it's something that you earn. It's not something that everyone who comes through here gets to enjoy. But even on the ice, and you said it there, it's not a role that can be truly appreciated by looking at numbers. Sorry, Davey, but like you're not looking at goals and assists to truly understand Boxy's contribution to the team. He is an elder statesman. He's a cool head, and I think he will be at the very core of probably the Brit Pack that I'm most excited about since I've been around this team, to be honest.
This comes since our last podcast. Boxy comes as the fourth new name in that time. We've had a few, including, well, let's have a look at it. We start off with Kendall McFaul, 26-year-old defenseman from Saskatchewan. He was signed at the same time as Josh Roach. Says these two lads look like the real deal.
You know, I've been impressed with the guys that have come over from the NCAA and the CIS, or U Sports as it's now called. I mean, Guilford brought a couple of guys in last year. Dundee had the kid, Riley Stadell, and he's away to Manchester, I think. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they can play. They all, you know, it's a hard-nosed game in that OHL, CHL, WHL type of of experience as well. And he was the captain of Moose Jaw at one point, about 5 or 6 years ago. So that's Kendall McFaul. Yeah. Josh Roach, same thing. You know, the two guys coming in from the same university have played with each other for the last 4 or 5 years. I'm really looking forward to seeing them. And, you know, anybody, I mean, speaking to Steve Thorndon and Adam Keefe about both guys and the references and everything they got back are, you know, off the charts with regards to McFaul and Roach. So hoping they get off to a great start, a quick start. And, you know, again, these guys are hungry. They've come out of college. They'll be looking hopefully they'll be looking to aspirations to go on to a bigger league and likes at DEL or maybe like say Austrian stuff as well. So stepping stone, you know, I don't mind being used as a stepping stone if it's going to have guys here having standout years in their first year as pro.
That's it. Davy Roach himself seems to be a bit of a utility player, forward and defence. Also coming from Saskatoon, coming through University of Saskatchewan, but also a former Humboldt Bronco.
Yeah, and I think it was a guy who's big noise in the Humboldt setup there, Clark Stork, had said about him. He's probably the most talented Bronco that he saw came through the way, you know, brilliant in the CIS, and he's going to be a really great pro. And, you know, as you say, he's got the string of his bow that he can play on the back end if he needs to. And we know how good, I'm not comparing him to any players, but the players that can go two ways, the likes of Mark Dudium, who came here in the past, very much as a forward, but had that whenever we needed him. He could slap back in the back end. I'm not expecting him to have to. I'm expecting Josh Roach to come here and do good things up front. And we'll go on to Kellen McFaul, you know, another big guy, 6'3", 210, 215. You know, we're building, obviously lost Martinelli, but we're bringing in size on the back end, which is what you need in this league.
That's right. Curtis Lennon, to say, D-man, Joel, from Napanee, Ontario, 25 years old, coming in from Fort Wayne Comets, and a friend of the show, Mark Lefebvre, saying that it was a great signing.
Yeah, it seems to have been praised all around. I mean, it's someone that I would expect anyway to be top line D minutes. He's going to be a big physical presence. You know, you look at our team last year, we scored a lot of goals, but we were weak defensively. We cost ourselves a lot of goals. Whenever your decor boasts him beside Jim Vandermeer with Beskarwani at the back, like, it's pretty safe to say that you've addressed the defensive issues of last year. I'm not sure how anybody could sort of could be upset or even neutral to that kind of signing. That's an exciting signing to get excited about. And even just, if you don't mind, Paddy, a quick note on Roach and McFaul. It's, to me, the whole thing is I'm calling it the Darcy Murphy effect. There seems to be a gradual shift in ethos with the Giants at the minute. And to me, it's bravery. It's Kiefer's courage that's leading this. There's a gradual shift away from these guys that have NHL, AHL numbers, which, I mean, there are exceptions to this, but so many times guys come over with these huge, brilliant numbers and it doesn't translate for whatever reason. I'm looking at the recruiting that's going on around the league at the minute, and I think that we're really trying to get ahead of the curve and set a new precedent, and that excites me. And obviously we're talking about Boxy coming back. We've got a role that he's going to fill, but we're not just sort of scattergun looking around for guys that are available. There seems to be a real ethos that hasn't been there before. It's new to me and it's really exciting.
Davey, overall, like, that's 13 players on the books as we're still trying to build up to the start of the new season, but it's coming together well.
It's coming together well. I fully expect a stud on D and a stud up front. I expect a big sign on at either end of the ice still to come, but, you know, you have talked about there, about the Brit pack that's came in, you know, a half a dozen there, really, really good names, who will all, as Simon's already said, be battling for that World Championship spot next year, and, you know, that can only raise the bar of what they're going to have to do week in, week out, because this isn't going to be something you're not going to get picked for, although you will technically get picked in January or February, but, you know, it's going to be a season-long process. Pete Russell's going to be watching this league all season long. Adam Keyes, one of the assistant coaches, he's going to want his Belfast players there. Make no mistake about that either. He's going to want his guys there. He's going to be driving them on. He's going to be the guy saying them on a Tuesday morning, you know, the worlds are coming. Get back out there, get skating. And as Sam said, they're going to be going through the wall this season to try and get in there. So I'm liking the way we're shaping up. Bit of youth, bit of size, speed, as we always, Steve Thornton over the last number of years has really tried to recruit speed. We've all came up with that, you know, cliche, speed kills. And that's something the Giants have been trying to do. Get younger, get quicker, get faster, and, you know, get stronger. So it's all boding well so far.
Just to close out this section, says it's, David makes a very good point there about the balance and age-wise. You know, I think over a number of seasons, we're looking at the fact that we're bringing in what we refer to as veteran players, and we made a lot of big deal of the experience that was there. a lot of these young guys are coming in, but it is a good mix for the likes of Vandy and Ferland in the side.
But you've also got the likes of Colin Shields, Mark Garside. You know, Garside's going to be 30 this year. Next year, when the season gets up and running. And, you know, he's invaluable experience as well. And we're talking about guys that can play, you know, up front on D. Garside's one of them. Swindlers can play forward as well. I was actually playing golf with Jim Vandermeer, Adam Keefe, and Mace last week. Rob Stewart was there too, and his wee lad. And Jimbo, you know, when Jimbo talks, everybody listens. I just love being in his company. He's just, you know, the guy's played at the highest level, he knows a thing or two about hockey. But he made a comment last week when we were playing golf that he believed, from the way the team's being set up now, he believes we're already stronger defensively than what we were last year.
Yeah.
And that's coming from Jim Vandermeer. So, you know, if it's come from him, it's good enough for me. You know, it's great to have Jimbo back. I heard somebody making a comment, you know, he's too old, he's done. What a load of bollocks. Jim Vandermeer, thank you. Jim Vandermeer has got a hell of a lot more to offer in this league. You know, he's unfortunate to pick up a couple of injuries last year. I was talking to Davey about it, and, you know, again, when you're getting, you know, when you're going out there blocking shots, or he twisted his ankle at one point as well, or broke a toe, it's hockey players. You know, it's not something that it's injuries are coming along just because of age. Absolutely not. But I'm really looking forward to the season. I was talking to Jasmine earlier on. We're in the car talking about recording the podcast tonight, and she says, "I can't wait for the season to start, Dad." And that's not like Jasmine at all, especially when they're weather like this.
Well, a few weeks ago, Simon, you had a chance to catch up with Adam Keefe. It was just after the signing of Roach, McFall and Leonard, and ask him about those. So let's hear from the coach.
The head coach of the Belfast Giants joins us on the podcast during the summer. Adam, how's your summer break going so far, or are you getting break at all?
Obviously, once we got back from the GB tournament, kind of things are starting to fly in here, and obviously trying to rebuild a team in the middle of that makes the time fly by a lot quicker, and before you know it, I feel like it's going to be August and we're rolling again. So trying to enjoy the moment and enjoy I certainly enjoyed the last 3 weeks of sun, that's for sure. I think that summer gone though.
I wouldn't bet on it. Last season, just give us a brief summary on how you thought things went for the Giants, and then obviously got a great end in the season with a gold medal around your neck for Team GB.
Yeah, I mean, I think last year was fairly successful, obviously, with a trophy, but a bit of a letdown there with kind of a collapse in the league. And obviously not making the Final Four and pushing for that playoff trophy, that's not something I never want to experience again. In terms of those two things, the league and the playoffs, certainly a letdown last season. And I think that we recognize some areas that maybe we went wrong and we want to try and fix this summer. And I think also trying to make sure that we stay healthy and we have the depth next season to push us through, because I think that was a big factor in, you know, ultimately dropping down to fifth place and then having to play against Nottingham in the quarterfinals. And I think if we can stay healthy and get the guys, and we get the right guys, I think this summer that we can push for all trophies again.
Seven returnees so far. The first one sort of announced itself as Darcy Murphy. Stephen Murphy then followed Mark Garside, Jim Vandermeer, Colin Shields, Jonathan Ferland and Dustin Johnner. Obviously those seven guys you know well, you've played with a number of them, apart from Dustin Johnner. So bringing those guys back in, you feel that's a good start?
Yeah, it's certainly a good group, a good core group to build off of, and all solid guys and great teammates that, they want to win and they want to see us build. And, I've been in touch regularly with the majority of them who are, trying to feed players into me or just kind of wanting to know what we've signed, and they're kind of interested in the process. And I think that's important, that guys want to be here and they want to win.
Then you announced a couple of newcomers. Lewis Hook was the first. You got to see Lewis in the training camp for Team GB. What impressed you about him?
I think all season long, Lewis Hook's name kept coming up as one to watch. An up-and-coming young British player, and he's obviously we've seen him firsthand when we played against Milton Keynes. I think he scored a few goals against us as well, and you know, he just looks like he's got a ton of potential, and he belongs out there already. So I think that given the fact that he is so young, and it's no mistake that our British core, and they won't like that I said this, but they're getting older. So I think it's it's important that we bring in some guys that we can help develop and help push on and have great careers, whether it be here in Belfast or they move on to Europe or whatever they may do. But we certainly want to bring in a bit of depth within our British core, and not just our British core, but the entire team. We need a bit more depth, and we lacked that last year, and I think that kind of came back to bite us.
Another member of the British core, as you call it, Paul Swindlehurst, he spoke very, very highly of you and his time with you at Team GB when we had a chat with him just a few weeks ago. What do you think Paul can bring to the team?
I think he has the potential to play both if we need him to, forward and defence. But not just that, I think seeing him firsthand at GB, he did his job well, and he's a big body that defends well, and he's physical and a good stick. And I think that all these things, he skates well for a big man as well, are things that we needed to add to the lineup. We also have Mark Gerside, who can play forward and defense. And so it gives us a whole lot of options and a whole lot of different looks. So should somebody go down and be injured, last season we lose Mark Gerside as a British defender, and it forces our hand to dress six import defensemen. And obviously that draws from somewhere else in the lineup and puts a lot of stress on other guys. So I think, we certainly have added that British depth that I spoke about previously, and very happy to have Lewis Hook and Paul Swindlehurst on board this season, and looking forward to working with them and trying to help develop their game in any way that I can help them.
With Jack's Muscle moving on and led to believe moving up the ladder, you decided to bring in Tyler Beskarwani. I was really impressed with him when I seen him this year, or previous last season, sorry, for the Edinburgh Capitals, and he's got a fantastic resume too.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, looking at his resume, there's the gap there where he missed a season for personal reasons, and I think that that made it a bit of a risk going into it. But once I spoke with all of his friends, teammates, coaches that he's had in the past, it was a bit of a no-brainer for me to take Tyler on board. And Tyler, I spoke with him, and he's very interested in getting back to the level of the DL, and we don't look at that as a fault. That the guys want to move up and have successes in other leagues, and in order for him to do that, he has to have a solid season here, and he's going to have every opportunity to do so. And I think that bringing in a goaltender of Tyler's stature, and no pun intended with how big he is, but I think it can only help our defensive side of the game. And I think if you look at our stats from last season, I think there was no mistake that we were letting in too many goals on the back end, and it's something that we're going to try and correct this season, and make sure that we're keeping more of an onus on our defensive end. And obviously we'll take care of business in the D end and then go have fun in the offensive zone. I think that's got to be the motto going into next season. And again, certainly happy to have Tyler on board this year, and I think that he's going to have a great year and be a brick wall back there for us. And it's something new for Belfast. It's certainly having an import goalie come in, especially not halfway through the season there, when we've had a few guys come in. But and then everybody kind of seems to forget the fact that we have a very, very capable Stephen Murphy tandem here with Tyler and Stephen. I think that that's going to be a great group to go forward and kind of take care of things from the back end out.
a couple of newcomers again from the import side of things, and two guys coming from the University of Saskatchewan, Josh Roach and Kendall McFaul. Josh Roach is again another utility player. He can play both D and forward. Where do you see him slotting in early on the season?
Well, I think he's going to start on forward, given the decor that we have. But obviously, things change throughout the summer. Things change throughout the first month of the season. So it is great to have a guy like Josh who can play both. And he's tenacious. He's hard on the forecheck. He battles hard. Everything that I've, the references that have come back on Josh have been stellar, and it's the reason why we've taken him. And I think this league is changing a bit here, and the fact that we're trending more in the way of guys coming in, young guys who are hungry to have success and are coming in treating this training camp like it's a tryout for them, instead of some of the older guys in the past have come in and training camp is a way to get in shape, and I don't think it's not the type of culture that we want here in Belfast. So it's nice to have a good group of veteran guys who treat this like a professional organization, like it should be, and obviously the young guys that are coming in that are hungry and want to move up leagues or just have success here in Belfast, that's a great tandem to have between the youth and the older experienced guys.
Another University of Saskatchewan player for the last 4 or 5 years, Kendall McFaul, follows Josh Roach into Belfast as well, and he seems like a big body, a big defenseman, and you're looking forward to seeing him.
Absolutely, yeah. I think again, just like Josh, another guy that all of his references were outstanding on him as a teammate, a player, and a person. It's hard to look past those when you get some quality people saying some quality things about these players and comparing them to American Hockey League players. So we're very excited to add Josh and Kendall to the lineup, and I think that they're going to be great additions, and I think that we look for them to have amazing rookie seasons here. And then obviously that's what I want from them, and anything that I can do to help them develop here throughout their first couple of years of pro, and certainly we'll be looking to do that, and looking forward to working with both of them.
Another piece to the defensive puzzle, Curtis Leonard, played in Fort Wayne last year in the ECHL, a friend of another player, and this is where it's getting it's a big plus when you know guys that want to come in here and they're being promoted by teammates.
Absolutely, yeah. We always say, the number one recruiters are our players or our ex-players, the guys who leave here and go home and have friends back home. Those are our number one recruiters, no doubt. And obviously, going back to the Friendship Four and what that's added to us is 80 players come in here every single year and get to see our setup, get to see our city, and experience Belfast night at the SSE Arena. And I think that that's a big reason why you see the likes of Darcy Murphy come here. And now the fact that he's highly recommended, a good friend of his, that is not just the reason why the Curtis is here. All of Curtis's references check out, and he's had a great career over in the ECHL so far, and I think he's one of the top defensive defensemen in that league, and he's got a whole lot of intangibles to add to his game as well. So we're certainly happy to add Curtis as well, and I think that that goes back to last season. Like I said, there's no hiding behind the fact that we gave up too many goals, and we also scored a lot of goals, and that's the reason why we had some success in other areas. But those real tight games, when we're maybe not playing so great, that's when we need to shut teams down and make sure that we're doing our job on the back end, and maybe we can squeak a couple games out. That obviously, with the league the way it is, that is important. You got to win those games when we're not playing so great, and good teams find a way to do so. So I think that those additions that we spoke about automatically so far, that we've spoke about just on this podcast, have I think that they've significantly improved our defensive side of the game as well. So I think that that's something to look forward to.
Moving into training camp. It's less than 2 months away. It doesn't seem, you know, it does seem like it's a long time between the end of March and coming into mid August. Yourself and obviously, I think you're heading back to North America soon. Are you going to be doing any more training camps or anything over there, and maybe touching base with another successful Keith who just won another trophy at the weekend?
Yeah, he's always trying to one up me, that guy. But no, he's. Like I said, I have no better guy to learn from and follow his career path and everything that he does. You know, I certainly want to emulate and try to learn from. And I think it'd be great to get home and I'll be going to a coaching conference there. And I think that I think my brother will be attending as well, so I'll get to catch up with him briefly there. And obviously, the summer is a busy time for both of us. Traveling around and recruiting and all the things that come with being a coach is kind of something that you don't really think about as a player. You just kind of get to the gym, work out, and go home and do whatever you want to do. But it's a little different as a coach. You know, you're constantly got your recruitment head on or your thinking cap on how can we be better next season. So I think that it'd be nice to catch up with him and discuss some things hockey and you know, hopefully pick up some new tricks.
You continually talk about learning, and that's a great attribute to have. But how do you think your first season went as a head coach?
Well, I'm certainly happy with a trophy in my first season. I think that a lot of that came down to the recruitment in the summer. It's easy to coach a team when you have a good team in front of you, that's for sure. So I think that you know, they maybe made me look good in that respect of bringing in that trophy. But you know, I certainly learned a lot this season, and I can certainly be better in a lot of areas of the game. And I don't think that there's ever going to be a season when I'll say that I have it all right. And that's important to recognize, I think, for me and for everybody involved, that you know, I'm going to make mistakes, and it's good. I think that I learned from them and try and move on and make myself better and the team better as a result. And obviously learning is a huge part of the game. I mean, you listen to all types of NHL coaches, you know, they don't stop learning. I think that everybody is interested, and that's the reason for all the coaching conferences and just speaking to other coaches in general. It doesn't even really matter what sport, just you learn a little something here and there from each guy and take it into your team and kind of make it your own. And I think that that's important to be a coach. You got to constantly be learning and trying to add things to the team and to your game.
I know you caught up with a really good friend of yours last week, who's just become a head coach as well, long-time Belfast Giant, Brandon Benedict. How's he getting on?
Yeah, Benny's great. I think he's obviously, again, he's probably, he's got a full-on recruitment hat on himself right now, and I think that he's just getting his feet wet and trying to learn I guess the youth organization in Nova Scotia and surrounding areas, because that's ultimately where he's got to pull from and find out where's the best young talent. And obviously him working at a hockey academy is something special, and I think that's the way that things seem to be trending, that the kids can now go to school, learn to play hockey, and also on the educational side of things, it's all in house, and you certainly get your share of ice time. And I think that it's an easy thing to sell, but it's not cheap. So I think that he's obviously starting to learn the budget side of things, and obviously at that level, you're speaking to parents and trying to recruit.
Thanks very much to Adam Keefe. Right, lads, let's move on to some other news. And I would like to talk more about the Giants, but we'll see what else we can dig up. I'm actually going to start with congratulations to another Keith, Sheldon Keefe, on the Calder Cup victory for the Toronto Marlies. Simon, that's a successful family.
Yeah, it's just phenomenal. He's won everywhere he's been. What's that?
You mentioned it there in the interview as well.
They're basically Adam. You know, he obviously looks up to Sheldon from Sheldon playing the NHL and obviously getting the coach at the AHL level now as well. And I don't think he's any doubt that he's going to go higher and he'll get an NHL job at some point as well. and have a really, really long career there. So, but Adam, you know, he's got no better role model to look up to than his brother. And it sort of pushes him on as well. And you can hear it in his voice when I was interviewing him. And obviously, when you're in Adam's company now as well, he's obviously, you know, he's trying to basically pick the brains of Sheldon and other guys that he knows around the hockey world to try and make our club better. Which, look, this is getting to his, isn't it his eighth year, Davey, in Belfast?
Yes.
And it's, you know, eighth season in Belfast. He's made it his home. He's a married man. He's married a local girl. And he's here for the long run, hopefully.
Hopefully. You could say that to Brandon Benedict. But hopefully, yes. Joel says makes a good point with regards to the intellectual resource that Adam Keefe has to draw on there from his brother.
That's it, absolutely, and let's be greedy about it. You know, that is surely a benefit to us, and it's just a huge resource, especially for a league like ours. I mean, in terms of Sheldon, I've sort of kept a keen eye on him. I knew his background in playing in the NHL. It was before I sort of fully invested my time in hockey and sort of fell in love with it, but his promise as a coach was evident whenever he was with Sioux Greyhounds. It was his junior team. He continues to climb the ranks and just get it done. Like, it's no mean feat to bring a men's pro hockey championship to Toronto. It's something like the late 60s is the last time that happened. You're already etching your name in the history books there. Like, it's hard not to think that the NHL won't eventually come calling for Sheldon.
I was lucky enough to get to a Toronto Marlies game a couple of seasons ago while I was wearing a Giants shirt, and I got intercepted by a fellow who came up and said, where'd you get that shirt? I said, we got it in Belfast, mate. And he says, right. He says, my son's your captain. And it turned out to be...
out of here, that's unreal. Yeah,
and we'll chat with Mr. and Mrs. Keefe, Kiefer's mum and dad. Very nice people. Sticking on Ontario, Davey. Liam Kirk, drafted round 7, 189th overall by the Arizona Coyotes. He's going major. We spoke about this last time. You mentioned this about him going major junior. He's going to the OHL with the Peter Repeats. Great pedigree there, not least, you know, Stevie Eisenman played out of there. Currently coached by people we know pretty well, in Rob Wilson, Derek Walser, and Andrew Werner, the former goalie for both Newcastle and Sheffield. Even Steelers' Mike Duggo was there, I think, as a player development coach. Kirk goes in, and this is the start of what hopefully is a great career in North America.
First of all, I suppose congratulations from everyone. I'm sure they'll be listening. Congratulations from everyone here on being drafted, the highest Brit draft number ever. And, you know, that's something that will always be on his CV no matter what happens. Look, he's gone major junior. We expected that to happen. He's probably at the club that is going to be best to him as a British player because of the pedigree of the people that are behind him there, as you've said, Walsh and, you know, Rob Wilson, Duggo. You mentioned somebody, Andrew Werner, there as well. So, you know, a lot of British guys have been through this league, know what it's all about, know what Liam Kirk will have had so far in his career development-wise, and will know almost instantly what he'll need and what sort of support and stuff that he'll need. It was a very, very good draft class, and you know, he's done very, very well to be picked up there, and we can only wish him well. It looks like it's started off quite well for him at the Yotes camps. You know, he's been doing pretty well, and obviously he comes, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, he's coming with that slight novelty factor of him being British, which has given his you know, his profile a little bit more exposure, and that can only be good for him as well. So we wish him really, really well in the coming season. And you know, it's just one step. Obviously, hopefully if he gets a good season under his belt, he'll be pushing for the GB team. He'll want to be in that as well. And not necessarily a given playing major junior that he'll go to the World Championships, but you know, it's something that I'm sure Walser and all will be feeding back into the Kiefer and the Corey. I don't know whether Nixon's going to be still involved in GB or not, and the likes of Pete Russell, you know, on a weekly basis, they're going to want to know how he's doing, and you know, good luck to the kid.
Says, how big is this for him? How big is this for the game over here?
It's huge. It's absolutely huge. You know, it's given kids younger than Liam Kirk the aspirations to push on. If they commit exactly, you know, their full time to the sport, and you put the efforts in on the ice and off the ice, and you'll get rewarded. And that's exactly what's happened with Liam Kirk. You know, Paddy, we were talking about the other day, the young kid, is Mason Anderson?
Yeah, the young kid.
You know,
yeah. And I was speaking to 92 points in 10 games or something stupid.
Listen, I was talking to Spud Grubb about him a few weeks ago, and he said that this kid's, even, you know, in his opinion, he's probably better at the same age that Liam Kirk was, you know, 2 years ago. And, you know, that's what it's given these an opportunity for these kids to go out and impress. Liam, yes, last season he got ice time with the Steelers. And, they, you know, obviously it helped his development. But it's just, you know, people claiming that the Steelers have basically done all the work on this. What a load of nonsense. This kid has been, from when he was a very, very young age, 5, 6, 7 years of age, getting his skating lessons, getting out there with the junior development program in Sheffield. You know, the mum and dad putting all the time in to take him all over the country for all these different development programs in England, Midlands, and the North and stuff as well. So it's a whole, you know, this hasn't happened in the last 12 months. Absolutely not. It's helped. No doubt about that. You play with better players, you get better. I was impressed with him seeing him last year playing in the EIHL. And I think he'll go on. I think he'll do really well over there as well. But let's not, you know, kid ourselves. He's playing against guys who are the same age as him now. Last year, he was playing against men. So, you know, 17, 18, 19 years of age, all playing in major junior. And, you know, he's going to really have to up his game because they're all the same. All these kids want to play in the NHL. Every single one of them. They all want to get to the show and they want to put the effort in. So it's I wish him the best of luck. You know, seems like he's got his feet on the ground. He seems like a real nice kid and will not hold the Sheffield link against him at all. So best of luck to him.
I think the distance, Joel, him being over in North America, hopefully that distance helps because there's going to be a weight of expectation. There's going to be a weight of hope that comes that people from here watching him to see how he develops with the hope that he goes on to reach the show.
There is. And I mean, Davey put it best there. He is coming in with that novelty factor, which is a blessing in the first instance. I mean, mainstream news outlets are reporting on this. I was scrolling Facebook a few days ago and I came across a video on the official NHL channel and it was literally just about Liam Kirk. It was a 2-minute snapshot of his signing and it actually had studio analysis with footage from the EIHL. And you're talking about a reach of millions on a single platform there. And I mean, extrapolate that out to everyone who's covering this. I mean, to be frank about it, if certain corners of the Elite League could tidy up their public relations act, it's a huge PR piece domestically. The irony that I find is the same club claiming the ground on it are the ones that are probably being most harmful right now. But in terms of his hockey, and that's the bit that we care about, all of the promises there, he's small. Like, he needs to put on some size. But the good news is that's a changeable factor. His skill and his ability, his core values, everything, it's there. He's not on the first step towards that journey. That this is how it happens. The fact that he's in the NHL draft system and caught so many headlines, I think a lot of people domestically who maybe aren't so familiar with the process will be looking and maybe seeing him go kind of to the lower leagues, to Peter Burpitz, whatever else. And they may not see that as, I think some people maybe expect him to jump straight into the show and start playing for Arizona, you know. If he can keep his head on and if he can just keep working, put a bit of size on, it's all there. And in the meantime, we'll try to clean up our act and try to make the most of the PR opportunity that presents to us domestically.
There will 100% be somebody out there, of people out there who think, why isn't he playing for Arizona? You know that's the fact.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I've seen him compared to Connor McDavid on Twitter the other day in a scrimmage, and I was having a little chuckle to myself. You know, he's doing well. We wish him every success. And as Joel says, once he starts firing some stakes into him, getting a bit of meat in his bones, you know, he's only going to improve.
Joel made a reference to a certain club. Let's talk about that club and talk about one of the new signings for that club, and one that departs our own shores. Our own current MVP, Ryan Martinelli, crosses the Irish Sea to South Yorkshire to become a member of the Sheffield Steelers, following a piece broken by the Belfast Telegraph that also stated that Kevin Contractor Rain would join the men in orange, but a piece that really upset the Steelers, really rattled them, shouting about you get your facts straight and the likes of that. One fact was correct. Says Ryan Martinelli is now a member of the Sheffield Steelers.
Couldn't care less.
it's never going to get old. It's never going to tire.
I've got loads in this box of tricks now. Hold on.
Doesn't matter. Just
I've got the full thing. I'm going to have a lot of fun as that gets more and more.
Are you leaving this all in? Is that just...
Oh, yeah, this is all being better. It's all being
better. No, honestly, couldn't care less. Not a chance anymore. Not my problem. Not my issue. Don't care.
Okay. David?
You know, there's statements made after Jackson Whistle went by, as you've called him, Kevin, contractor Rain, that really boiled my piss last month, as you're well aware. And yep. we had a good old chat about Kevin Rain last month and climbing the ladder, climbing that greasy pole, you know, and we'll see where he ends up yet. You know, that the people in Sheffield are rattled about that. We'll see where he ends up. But, you know, Ryan Martinelli, I kind of wish him all the best. You know, he came in here last season, especially he held the fort for us. He did things that, you know, we know about that were never made public, that went above and beyond what was necessary. And we thank him for his time in Belfast, but that's about it. As far, you know, he's good when he was here. He doesn't play for us anymore. You know, these guys have a right to go and make as much money as they can, and they're getting offered more money elsewhere. Then, you know, that's, they don't have an emotional attachment. You know, you talk about Tavares going to, you know, the Maple Leafs during the week there, and I read, I think it was Mike Scroy actually on Facebook saying about, you know, these people have to make as much money as they can. It's a short career. Not really the same when you're talking about guys that are getting £11 million a year or whatever, but, you know, if $100 a week, you know, can turn your head, well then fair play to him, and, you know, I wish him well, except against us.
I think that's the thing in regards to him being our MVP and the amount of effort he put in through the season and the shift that he turned regards to, well, when there were issues. And Sheffield have picked up a good player, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, I had a snipe on Twitter about this, and Davies just sort of covered it there. It's not in our gift to judge a guy for wanting to go and make more money. If somebody sent me an email tomorrow to do the same job for a lot more money, am I going to go, no? You know, if you're asking me, if you're coming to Belfast, you've got the best package in this league. You're treated like a rock star in this city. You have probably some of the best perks that are available in the league. And they, to me, and I'm obviously speaking from an outsider's perspective, but my perception is that they make up for maybe the 100 quid a week, but it's not on me to make those decisions for that guy. What I can do is be upset that a player that I liked has gone, but as Sis says, he's gone. That's it. Thank you so much for everything you did. And you're right, he did. He went above and beyond maybe what a lot of other imports would have done here. So for that reason, I tip my hat to him and I let him go. But for me, it's two words, Curtis Leonard.
One thing I can say about, you know, about Ryan Martinelli, and, you know, they say, I think you put it well in your tweet, Davey, you know, we shake hands and move on. But while he may be dressed in orange, while he may be playing for the Sheffield Steelers, one thing's true.
I listen to A View from the Bridge, the Elite League's number one podcast.
If only he said his name when he recorded that. That'd have been even better.
I listen to A View from the Bridge, the Elite League's number one podcast.
Best of luck,
man. I need some past tense that. I'm going to have to edit that. I listened.
Speaking of departures, we'll go on to another one. But before we do that, he's going to a club that we'll talk about first. The rebranding that took place this week, just yesterday, in fact, that the Brayhead Clan are no more. They are now to be known as the Glasgow Clan. They were known as Glasgow's Brayhead Clan for a while in the PRs that came out of the club, but now they've officially changed their name, they've changed their brand, they've changed their logo, and they are to be known as the Glasgow Clan. Says from a branding point of view, it makes total sense.
Yeah, it definitely does. And to be honest, I actually really do like their logo. But is it going to be the Glasgow Clan, or is it just Glasgow Clan?
I'd say it'd be the Glasgow Clan, the same way it's the Belfast Giants.
But we're not the Belfast Giants.
No, it's the Nottingham Panthers. Now they
the Nottingham Panthers. Okay, I'm not going to get into that. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago, but yes, go on.
I think it's a great idea. You know, it's, to be honest, you know, yes, it's 16 miles outside of Glasgow City Centre from where they play, but yeah, it makes sense. It's you know, it probably gives them a bit more draw to have potential new sponsors involved with them instead of being out at Brayhead and calling it just as a regionalized area. So I think it'll work for them. I do really like their logo. I think they've done a really good job on that. Obviously bringing a new coach in and trying to do everything at the same time and rebranding it. I do genuinely think it'll work for them.
did you say we're not the Belfast Giants?
It's Belfast Giants?
Yeah.
I would say the, but, you know, yeah, our title is Belfast Giants.
The we're not of the Belfast Giants.
Yeah. The just being the word.
It's informal.
The.
Yeah.
It's informal. Yeah. We're Belfast Giants. They're Sheffield Steelers. Oh, right. They're not in Panthers, but we're not. We are technically the Belfast Giants because we're the only Belfast Giants. But, you know, we're getting into like the realm of semantics here now. But yeah, I know what you mean. Glasgow Clan.
What do you think?
Not bothered, mate.
Not bothered.
I find that they're obviously chasing the football pound here. You know, they've had a lot at Hampden Park. They've got like football leisure wear out, and you know, anything to get extra seats in, extra people in. I applaud that, and the people are doing something to try and just different angle and things to get more tickets sold. Fair enough. You know, it makes sense to be tied to the major city. Just, you know, but it doesn't really affect me too much. Can't see them from where I live.
Do you think they didn't do it initially? Oh, I assume they didn't do it initially because they were trying to draw in a lapsed but existing hockey crowd in air?
Perhaps. The Brayhead one is always a bit funny. It was that close to Glasgow. Why not just go with Glasgow? Because you would think maybe there was, I don't know, maybe they wanted to get away from the Glasgow Rangers, Glasgow Celtic angle, and now they're trying to maybe, you know, build buy into that, get those people in a wee bit more. But I just don't know. I can't answer that. You know people up there better than I do.
I think, well, that's what I think it is. I think they didn't want to be that closely related to Glasgow, but now that they're, what, 10 years or whatever it is now? How long have they been around? 8, 10 years?
I think it's
Count the Banners.
Count the Banners. Joel, you're a massive fan of those guys in Renfrew. What do you think of Lee Branton?
I'm sorry. I don't agree with Sis here. I think the new logo is a swing and a miss. You know, if you look at it, I'm not the best marketeer in the world, but I get the rebrand. It's necessary to secure a market. That's the market that they see, and it's the one they're going for. The old logo was one of the worst hockey logos I've ever seen in my life, and that's including the Lightning's bolt. But the logo itself, you look at that club and its 8-year history, what's the single biggest element that struck a chord league-wide? It's the cow. Where's the cow? The logo should have the cow. Where is the cow? It's the easy answer. It's the obvious answer. They've gone down the Mel Gibson Braveheart road. It's not for me. I get that the rebrand's necessary, but it won't stop me relentlessly ripping it because it's too much fun.
That cow's a pain in the backside. Well, that's one of the other things that was announced just at the same time is the fact that Brendan Connolly becomes another Belfast Giants who crosses the Irish Sea. This time, says into Glasgow.
Yeah, you know, it's Connolly, for me, he was a great player last year. I thought he did really well for us. However, you know, he's a liability and, you know, taking all those stupid penalties, winding referees up. And the problem that we have here in the UK is the likelihood is you're going to get the same referee, if not next weekend, the following weekend. And referees here, in my opinion, I'm giving the referees a hard time in the off season. That's bad crack. But you know, the very short memory, here, and they basically just keep on. They don't give guys a break. You know, they make a mistake that they'll remember it for the next game. I believe absolutely that is the point with regards to Spiro Galakos last season and Brendan Connolly and maybe even Sebastian Sylvestre as well. So I think he'll do okay for them. I think he'll be he's a really good player, really smart player. But again, you know, when we look at what we did last year, we finished fifth. You know, it's if you don't finish first, it doesn't technically really matter where you finish. But we didn't do ourselves any favour. And again, going down the stretch, he disappeared in games for me. I thought he started the season off like a house on fire, and when he's on his game, he's on his game. But again, he moves on. He doesn't play for a chance anymore. Really couldn't care less.
Davey, you can do this over the Dobbs jingle. Is he that much of a reliability?
Bap.
I didn't say you can sing it over it. You can give it a game.
It's just, you're going to have to stop this. I can't talk away this nonsense. I'm lost. You're going to have to edit this.
It's a reliability. Come on.
Yes, in fact, so much of a liability doesn't play for us anymore. There's obviously thinking from both sides that then the deal didn't suit either party, or it would have been signed. So, you know, from our end, you know, he's replaceable. Every player in this league is replaceable. Maybe Brits aside, you know, we've got to be very careful and nurture them very well. But, you know, import wise, we've proven you could, for every Ryan Martinelli, great as he was, MVP material, you know, we've been able to go and get a Curtis Leonard. There are players out there. There'll be another rink rat out there, and we need them. You need the Brendan Caldy. You need that attitude, but you need that one that doesn't step over the line quite as much as he did at times. I remember one game towards the end of the season when he talked himself into, you know, misconducts on the 20-minute mark or the 60-minute mark, you know, and it's not good enough. He missed games through suspensions, through talking, not through, you know, sometimes you can live with a player that lives on that line between what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, sometimes to cross it, and you have to accept that. And at this club, we're very good at taking our medicine. When that happens, we'll look at it and we'll look at Dobbs and go, yeah, that's going to be a suspension. You take it on the chin. I hate the amount of misconduct, 10-minute misconducts that I tracked last season. You want to see the colour of that spreadsheet. It's unbelievable. But Joel has it as well. you know,
no comment.
He's going to be replaced. He goes to Glasgow with our best wishes, and, you know, see you later. Thanks for coming.
Joel, one last comment in regards to your own take. And that's a big block of points that's been shipped on that the Giants have to replace.
Yeah, I was on the phone to Josh, my brother, just before we recorded tonight, and he put it really well. He said, you know, he's a league-wide high point scorer. You're not a top 5 point scorer by accident. But he was also on a line with Sebi. I mean, I'm interested to see how he fares whenever the kind of deck shuffled and he's with new guys next year. The bottom line here for me is that he was an aggressive player, but sometimes that was to our detriment. He was overly argumentative. I am a big fan of your Daryl Lloyds, guys that get in the opposition's faces and rile everybody up. It's fantastic. But the story of the 17-18 Giants, high goals, but really high penalties, which led to a lot of unnecessary goals conceded. And to me, Cons is maybe a bit the embodiment of that. So if we don't want to be like that, if we're trying to move away from that, is he really a vital piece of the puzzle? And just one last point as well. It's easy to jump on whenever a guy flips to a team that's in the same league. It's an easy thing to get likes on Twitter for, and I'm a fan of that bit as much as the next guy. But it's hard to know sometimes if the door was even really open. You know, look at the change in our recruitment this year. He may have just been surplus to requirement, and I'm sure we can find those points elsewhere.
Moving on, I've got two more points left on the agenda. I'm going to swap them around from what we have them. I'm going to start with Ben O'Connor. We spoke about Ben O'Connor going to the KHL. Unfortunately, that is no longer the case. Quote, the Astana Barrys have terminated the contract of Ben O'Connor. Their club will pay the player money compensation, and the agreement with the British defender was signed by the previous leadership headed by Askar Shapovalov. There seems to have been something that Joel was out of the control of Ben O'Connor. There's been a takeover and all the contracts have been reneged. It's gotten for O'Connor, but who I think has now moved to, has got a job in Sweden.
Yeah, I mean, all's well that ends well for me there. It was sad that it fell through. Sometimes that's hockey. I mean, it is a business, and sometimes it's merciless. He's a guy that I've never had an issue with. He's fun to watch. He's a big personality. He's a big part of the British team. So I'm happy that he's got a decent job. It would have been a shame if he'd have come back here having been shown that that's the level that he can aspire to. So I think he's in a good place now, and who knows, you know, what the future holds if another deal comes up that's maybe a bit more accommodating.
Says, is it good that he did go to Sweden and not come back to the A-League?
For him, yeah, absolutely. You know, we've got the opportunity to watch Ben O'Connor playing against us now for the last three or four seasons for Sheffield, and he played against us for Edinburgh as well. And obviously, I know I had a look at him when he was in GB as well over in Hungary. I think he's quality. I think he's absolute quality. He's one of the best skaters in the league. Great vision, you know, he can literally pick a pass out, and I'm just really glad that he got another opportunity to go elsewhere. I'm really glad that he didn't go back to Sheffield, to be honest. I wish him the best luck. He's a real, real good lad. I've spoken to him on numerous times, and we brought him here in 2009, I think it was. Todd Kellman asked me to go and pick him up at the airport and spend a couple of hours with him, showing him the city. Deal was more or less done. That was before he got the opportunity to go and play in Kazakhstan. So real quality player. And I wish him the best of luck in Sweden. I think he'll do a great job over there. And then obviously, you know, come in high and the opportunity to play for GB again next May.
Yeah, so that was it. The thing David says took my point there. He signed a contract with the Belfast Giants, didn't he?
He did indeed, and until he met Simon Kitson and got through around Belfast, it seems that the deal was done.
He signed it straight after I dropped him off, but thank you very much.
I've lost my pen.
It wasn't my pen. You're
Dear, right. Well, let's move on. The one last point in this section, the Continental Cup dates have been confirmed for the Belfast Giants, and the location has been confirmed. Those like myself who are maybe hoping on getting a bit of a European tour will have to wait and hope that the Belfast Giants can proceed to the final, because this round of the Continental Cup will take place at our own SSE Arena in Belfast between Thursday the 15th of November and Saturday the 17th of November against Medveskak Zagreb, GKS Katowice, and a fourth team qualifying from Group B yet to be decided. As I remember, how many years ago was it now, Landshut, and I was there, and what I do remember of it, I remember two lads in funny German hats. Joel, how disappointed were you with the fact that it is in Belfast, or is it a great thing that it's in Belfast?
It's a bit of both. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't disappointed from a personal standpoint. You know yourself, having experienced it and well before I was around, those European roadies are special. There's no other way to put it. Landshut was my first in 2012, the Continental Cup that year. We had come off the back of winning the league the previous season, and that season went on to be a bit of a disaster, which we won't talk about. But we still share stories from that kind of 4 or 5 day period that we spent out in Germany. Absolutely brilliant. I get that it's great for business here. You can't deny it. It's great to have another spectacle, another hockey spectacle to promote in Belfast this season. And it's also great, like, I mean, and let's not be too precious, it's great for those who can't travel for whatever reason, be it work commitments, family commitments, financial, whatever. It's a bit of both. So I can't slate it, and I won't slate it, but I would be lying if I said it wasn't a personal disappointment.
I think, yeah, then maybe I'm being a bit harsh, says it, saying that, but I am disappointed. I did want the European tour, but to bring the Continental Cup back to Belfast the way that we had it way back in, what was it, 2002, 2003, is a positive for the organisation. Yet another one.
I'm a wee bit disappointed as well. Paddy would like the European trip. So when I heard that was going to be the case, I decided to book myself a trip to Portugal the week before. So I'll be all right. But do you know what? It just goes to show that Belfast is, you know, the number one priority with regards to the IIHF and, you know, holding tournaments like that here. Obviously, the World Championships, April 2017, was a huge success, and they've now got the chance to bring in the Continental Cup round at this stage. And, you know, the Thursday, Friday, Saturday is the first time they've done that as well. Usually it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So they've made accommodations for the Giants to do that. I would like to think that the Giants are going to be very confident going through, and then hopefully we'll get a trip in, I'm pretty sure it's the start or middle of January for the final round. So I'm hoping that's going to be the case and we do get a European trip before the end of the season. But it's, again, you know, you win the Challenge Cup, you get an opportunity to compete against some of the top European sides. So looking forward to it, and hopefully we can bring that big massive silver dish back to Belfast.
David, it's a jam-packed season with increased number of games. We know the fixture list has been decided upon. When that's to be released, we don't know yet, but they did have the fixture meetings last week, and you know, you can't use a computer because no computer can actually do it. But the Continental Cup, I'm going to ask this question early, a benefit or a distraction?
I'm not a fan of the CHL. As you know, I've banged that drum for however many years I've been in there. I think that's a competition that's, from a British team perspective, it's unwinnable. Certainly think you can, there's teams capable of maybe getting out of the group, as we've seen, and maybe having a decent run in it, but it's unwinnable from the terms of a British perspective. The Continental Cup has always had an opportunity for the British teams to progress to the grand final at least, and maybe even bring home that silver. Is it a distraction? It makes it a lot harder because you're cramming in two weekends extra worth of games that you have to find somewhere else to play them. So potentially four games that you've got to get into the midweek crammed in somewhere. So there, yes, it makes it harder. As you know, we're not going to speculate on the fixture list before it's published, but you know, we already know over the last number of years we've had that long stretch away from the SSE, the Odyssey, due to things being on there. So we expect something similar to happen this year. That'll give us an opportunity to get some hockey at home and keep the goodwill with the Belfast Giants fans as well. It's unfortunate we're not going away. I think it's 11th, 12th, 13th of January, the grand final. We'll not put the horse before the cart, you know, but, you know, that's the dates just for seven there. And, you know, we've talked about it, Paddy. I think you and me looked at it, and, you know, it's the guts of a 90-game season here. Almost 90 games to be played before April, before those British guys go away. So it's going to be difficult. It's going to be a long season. You know, we're not short bench, but we don't have big rosters and we don't have a massive fallback of guys go down hurt. That is a lot of hockey to be played this season. So, you know, it's one game at a time. That's how Adam people approach it all season long. And, you know, we'll start against Manitoba and see where we'll go from there.
Yep, you make the point there, Davey. The Stanley Belfast Giants will be taking the ice for the first time on the 25th and 26th of August, with back-to-back exhibition games once again against the University of Manitoba Bisons. And Davey, I'll start with you. They came in last season and they turned us over.
Yeah, and that's what you want. You don't want a gimme. You don't want just a racky, a soft touch. You want guys. This is our only opportunity before we hit what I assume will be Challenge Cup action. That's what the kind of way we've lined up the last number of years. You know, we've got ourselves going over Challenge Cup action over the first couple of weekends. So, you know, this is our first chance to get into proper hockey after camp. You know, the guys will be skating themselves and just skating and skating and skating. They'll be playing a bit of scrimmage at the end of game or at the end of, you know, training sessions. But this is our first chance to properly go body on body, start getting used to getting hit again, starting getting used to hitting again. And, you know, that's the opportunity, because we know we're going to, if things are the same as what they've been over the last number of seasons, you know, we know we're going to come up against the Fifes, the Dundees, the Scottish teams in the Challenge Cup early season. They're going to be hard games. I think we might have lost our first game of the season. I just don't have them in front of me. Joel might be able to tell us. I think we lost the Dundee Stars, certainly early in the season. Whether it was the first game or not, I just can't remember off the top of my head now. But, you know, the games will come thick and fast, and you know that game, it'll probably, I think it's announced, isn't it, towards the end of August?
Yeah, 25th, 26th
of August. We know from last season that these guys are going to come in, and they're wanting to impress their coaches too. They want roster spots as well. So, you know, it's good all round. I think it's a nice level we're playing at, and it suits everybody.
Simon?
Yeah, agreed. I was impressed with them last year. You know, these guys that are coming in and full of energy, they want to, you know, impress their coaches as well. And again, they're not just here for a holiday. They would play it. I think didn't they go on to play Brayhead last year as well? And then
they did.
Edinburgh, I think. So, you know, they're here for five or six games or maybe more. And you know, there's some really quality players as well. And I think we talked about it last year after the games against Manitoba. You know, there's one or two players in that team you wouldn't have minded seeing in the elite league. So, or in Belfast. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So, again, there's been long. I mean, you see all the friendlies being announced to play against the likes of some of the European teams that are coming in. And obviously, you'll get the likes of Milton Keynes playing Guildford the same as every year. So, it's, and Brayhead playing their reserve team in Manchester. So, it's, you know, you'll get all these fixtures coming up. But going outside the box, bringing these guys over. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And just quickly looking, Paddy, at the Manitoba Bisons website, and again says they're obviously playing on the 25th and 26th, but on the 22nd they're playing the now defunct Brayhead Clan in an exhibition game. So I'm not sure what they're going to put in on the 22nd there. I assume they'll hastily rearrange that. Then maybe the Glasgow team will take them on. But yeah, so they're playing a few games this season, obviously with Edinburgh dropping out there. They're not going there this year, but yeah, three games and pretty much 5 days for them. So or 4 days, that'll be attritional enough on them. So it's good for them.
Joel, for them coming over for the second season and just creating these links with the North American or the Canadian college system, it's benefited us as well.
Definitely. I mean, it's it's a great opportunity to, we were talking earlier just about the sort of new ethos of the Giants recruiting. I think it's a worthy test for the boys. You want a challenge. You want somebody that's going to bring it to us. Great to see how Roach and McFall fall into line with an Elite League side against the style of hockey that they're familiar with. And it's a nice acclimatization for them. Above all else, I mean, it's like we've been saying all night, it's another spectacle for us. I mean, it's cool that we get to come in at the start of the season and watch a U Sports team in Belfast. You know, I think sometimes we don't really know how lucky we are. If you can get a couple of preseason games in, all well and good, and I would take these kind of exhibitions over anything domestic.
Yep, so those games are 25th and 26th of August at the SSE Arena, and tickets are on sale right now. There are some other movements and stuff around the Elite League. Guy Lapine at Nottingham, some internal movements of players between former Brayhead players who went to Manchester and found out the grass isn't greener and were going back to join a different team in Glasgow. Lots of stuff like that to talk about, but as we get closer to the season and these teams come more into focus, we'll deal with that at the time. Any other business, gentlemen?
Nothing from me.
Nope.
If we're talking Guy Lapine, for newer fans who haven't seen it, you have to go onto YouTube and search the Coventry Nottingham bench clearing brawl from 2010. Lapine is an absolute animal in that. Takes on Jason Robinson, and then Jaeger the Tendy goes after him in the box. It's very, very worthwhile off season watching. There's a young Brummie lad, very, very excitable in the commentary box. It's hilarious. Go check it out on YouTube.
What the
hell? And of course, we'll put that link up, won't we, Joel?
Of course, mate. Of course.
Be lad. I always say well, and I never do. But
the royal we there.
You're on board with the social media side of things. Now, so.
You got it, mate.
One thing I'm going to ask you about, Davey, how entertained were you by the absolute mental collapse that took place in Sheffield with the Belfast Telegraph article?
Look, I don't get it because, you know, often, certainly in the world of football, newspapers don't just speculate. They have a little bit of information, and I, you know, Sheffield are determined that this came from direct from the Belfast Giants. I happen to know it didn't, but that's irrelevant to the story. You know, newspapers print stories, and I don't get this exclusivity thing that everybody wants, that we have to, you know, announce that. It's the best kept secret for a flipping reason.
Yep.
And it's always going to be the best kept secret why we crack up at newspapers publishing stories about it. And that's all it was. It was a story. Here, at the minute, it's 50% right, which isn't a bad strike rate for the Belfast Telegraph, let's be honest. You know, and just in general, I'm not digging out their sports column there, but, you know, it's a good thing. You know, the stories being taken by the papers, and hey, I tell you what, it's probably the biggest hits that Belfast Telegraph have had on Twitter for a long time, and it's still going, and you get the little jibes from the likes, very nice one from the Coventry Blazer during the week, you know, the nice little bit of publicity, and it's keeping Belfast in the news as well. So, you know, that's what the Belfast Telegraph is supposed to be doing. It's supposed to be exposing the Belfast Giants at every opportunity, and, you know, I don't have any issue with it.
That's the joke of it, isn't it, Joel? It's the fact that there are gossip columns, there are full-on newspapers that are filled with sports columns that are filled with speculation on players going here, players going there, who's joining who, what, how much so-and-so's getting paid, and how bad a person Raheem Sterling is, apparently. But, you know, it's these whole things. And so the Sheffield Steelers go absolutely apoplectic over what is basically free online publicity for them.
As much as you sometimes don't act like it, you are a professional sports organization, and news coverage, you're not. You're not. You don't have. Where was it? You do not have divine right to your own news. Newspapers cover sports. It's these kinds of talking points are what keeps fans engaged. This is the most entertaining offseason I can remember. It's done no damage whatsoever, other than a few people got to turn a few 6 a.m. alarms off. I just don't see the fuss.
The Boomerang Corner, your cohorts in Boomerang Corner, getting wind of the follow-up signing for the Sheffield Steelers and making that public, I'm sure that wound them up the wrong way as well. But Sis, you know, from a commercial point of view, from working with Belfast Giants TV and stuff, any news is good news.
It is. And, you know, when you're announcing at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, set your alarms for 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. We're bringing 18 hours of speculation, and people go online and look to see if they can guess who's coming. But, you know, for me, I just don't really see the point, because at the end of the day, if you want to make a breaking news story and you sign somebody, and this goes for the Giants as well, you know, if they manage to get somebody on board and manage to keep it a secret, then it's fantastic. But, you know, there's loose lips out there all over the place, and David, keep it clean. And it just really depends on which way you want to do it. But, you know, that organization across the water in Yorkshire just boils my piss sometimes. And I was actually laughing my leg off when I seen it coming out. But again, you know, let them get on with doing what they're doing. I really couldn't care less.
Yeah, I think that's how rattled they were is what I found immensely entertaining. Anyway, I think we'll wrap it up there, gentlemen, unless there's anything else.
Well, I have a little stat-based one to finish off with, Paddy.
Hold on. Wait for it.
I'm a stat man. I'm the stat man.
Go for it, mate.
That's killer, isn't it?
It is, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. I was reading just while we were on air, if you want to call it on air. I was reading a tweet here from some stat-based Irish League football and football from the Free State there, and they've given all the teams how many games they played over the last season at home, how many their total and averages were. And just interestingly, that the team at the top, Cork City, 16 games, 72,000. The Belfast Giants played 34 games in the SSE last year and had 150,012 people through the doors. We averaged something like 4,000, and I don't know what that is. Paddy, Joel, quick.
My mic's broke.
4,412. I thought you'd have had that on standby. But, you know, that would have said, you know, when you think that we're paying more than twice the number of games, we're bringing in more than twice the amount of people overall, and on our averages, you know, we would be sitting in there at second of all the football teams. You know, it drops right down. Shamrock Rovers are second with 2,799. So, you know, like, we are a big brand in this country, massive brand in this country, and we're getting, and Brooksy and Glover and all those guys are getting, Thorch are getting over 4,000 people through the doors week in, week out, and this season they're going to have even more seats to sell because we've obviously said already how many more games there's going to be, and you've got the NCAA coming in, you've got the women's games going, and that's happening in January this season. You've got the French F4, we've already said, you've got the Continental Cup and all those games, and you know, you just never know what Robert Fitzpatrick's going to pull out of the bag either next, just for to keep us, you know, interested in the game. And you know, we've got to, as Robert's always saying, we've got to be the disciples out there, you know, the fill it and they will, you know, book it and they will come, you know, all these games are going to need bums on seats, and good tickets still available, eh, Paddy?
Who's that come from? That sounds familiar. Yep, absolutely, mate. I couldn't agree more with you. And the fact is, there's a big hockey season coming. There's a long hockey season coming up ahead. And as the weekends come, we'll get more stuck into that. Listen, I'm going to wrap it up there. Thanks very much to Adam Keefe and to Jonathan Boxall. You can get all the interviews. You can hear the three interviews with Josh Roach, Kendall McFaul, Curtis Leonard, each of which I think have had about 500 people listen to them so far each. But you can get them at soundcloud.com/AVFTB. Likewise, you can get the Jonathan Boxall, full Jonathan Boxall interview there as of Thursday morning. And you can get us all in all the usual places. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes here, as you can tell. Yeah! I've got a new box of tricks to play, and I can't wait just to mess about a bit more with that. We've got a few little changes that are going to take place over the next summer and a few new systems that are going in. Stick with us, and there might be a few hiccups along the way, hopefully not, but we'll try to avoid that as much as we can. You can find us, as always, on Twitter, at AVFTB. And thanks to Davey, Simon, and Joel.
Good evening, gents.
Cheerio. Pleasure as always.
And wherever you are, we hope you're enjoying your summer. The World Cup's back on Friday. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.